Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Lola, such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
As a part of our series that we call In Spite of Life, I'm here. Isn't that something?
Of course it
is. Could you share a little bit more about your name in detail, where you're from, and just tell us a little bit about Lola.
Thank you so much. My name is Owolola. That's my full name. The last four letters of my name is Lola. That's why people call me Lola, because it's easier to pronounce. I am from Nigeria. I moved to the United States 2 years ago. I am from a very big family. I'm the first of eight.
Wow.
Yeah. My dad is a twin, so my cousins are technically my siblings, so we all live together. So I have a bachelor's in counseling. I work here at LCC. I'm a fashion designer. I own a production factory back home in my country.
Wow.
I started my factory like in 2015, and I've been doing that, pretty much over 10 years now. Yeah, that's about me. I love to travel. I love to meet new people. I love to learn about people's culture because it inspires my designs.
Oh, yes.
And those things just make, you know, a very, very diverse kind of design for me. And I intend pursuing my master's degree pretty soon. I'm just figuring out the funding piece.
Yes, you've decided what you're going to major in?
Yes, it's going to be an MSW.
Because
my bachelor's in counseling.
Yes, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's so wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us. You talk about your designer outfits. You wear it every day, almost.
Yes, I do.
And I'm fascinated by every single one I see.
Thank you so
much. If we wanted to buy them or take a look at them, you have a website, don't you?
I do have an Instagram page, not a website.
Yes, yes.
I have an Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
My Instagram page is BELUCCI_LBF. That's Bellucci _LBF. That's where you see most of the things that I post up on there, like things that I create. My factory is still basically in Nigeria right now because I'm still a recent immigrant somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend moving things slowly here and see how, you know, I can figure out that part.
It's such an amazing blessing.
Thank
that
you.
You're bringing this fantastic clothes to America,
thank
but
you.
Also jobs to your people back home,
yes.
Right? So I really admire that.
Thank you so much.
You were selected for this podcast, Lola, because you and I talked a few times, and I have to tell you, I was so impressed. And
thank
when
you.
I listen to stories like yours and meet with people with your personality, the first thing that comes to mind is, can't waste this. We got to get this out there. Let others know about you.
Yeah.
And I really believe that many lives can be touched by just listening to your story. And that's what the Office of Empowerment is about, using our life experiences to help others to further their own, you know. So thanks for sharing a little bit about yourself, but in such a nice big family.
Yeah.
What was your upbringing like every day?
Wow, that's a huge question. I'm the first, like I said, of eight. I had to grow up really fast.
Oh, I
did not have a lot of mentors, so I had to grow up fast for my younger ones. I made a lot of mistakes, if I'm not gonna lie. I'm just like, I didn't make some smart investments, I would say. I was scammed a couple times.
Wow.
I started my business really early. Not this business, but I started business generally really early, like at the age of 13.
Oh my goodness.
I was selling firecrackers to my friends and like gift for like, you know, birthdays and Valentine's and whatever they wanted to do at the time. So I was just selling like gifts to people. And I moved from that to selling caps and shoes.
Wow.
And before like the clothing business became the next thing. So yeah, I made a lot of mistakes, but good thing is I'm here now and
yes.
I've learned from my mistakes. I didn't even realize how to write the business plan at the time when I started my business. But, you know, I've learned over the years and I'm happy about that.
And learning is so important. I'm thrilled by the fact at such a young age you had that desire for business. But I'm not at my chief diversity officer chair. I'm also a business professor. I have been for 30 years. So I'm always fascinated to hear how people have that natural desire, you know, to for the business. That's fantastic. Yeah. What I really would love to ask you is, what would you say were a couple challenges that really stand out when you think of some things that you faced along your journey?
Like I said, I didn't know how to write the plan. A business plan was something that I had no idea how to write. So it hindered a lot. And I don't know, there's a saying that if you don't plan, you plan to fail. So I wasn't effectively planning because I didn't even know what I was doing. I wanted to make money to support my family. And because there was no funding for me, I had to save a lot of money. That was another major challenge that I had. And brand acceptability was another thing because people were like, who is this person trying to sell us this? You know, where are you from?
Do you feel that brand is growing?
Oh, yeah, my brand has grown. Absolutely. It has grown in the past. It has grown.
Wow.
I've been able to, like, style people for the red carpet and video shoots and things like that. So it has grown. But it's almost like I'm repeating the same thing again now in a new country. But I know I'll get there, you know.
Absolutely.
I know time teaches me a lot, and even, you know, navigating and working with people has helped me a lot too.
Thanks for sharing that. I know that you're doing a lot of fantastic work here at Lansing Community College, working closely with students. And so this podcast is for our students, for me first of all, and then everybody else, you know, at LCC and beyond LCC. But what would you say to some students who have that burning desire like you did to get into business? They may not have all the resources. They may be scared, very hesitant. What would some of the advice you would give to them?
First things first is believing yourself.
Yep.
If you believe in yourself, always remember that the world will remember you for what you show you know how to do, not what you think you know how to do. So believe in yourself and keep that fire burning. Find your tribe. They're out there. You know, another major thing that I felt was like, you know, I was like, I don't know who was going to buy my clothes, but there were people out there that wanted to see what I had to offer. So if you find your tribe, you would eventually sell your clothes. And then don't be too emotional. Try to separate yourself from your business.
Very important.
One thing that I was failing at is that I wasn't paying myself for working in my organization. And that's something that I had to learn as I grew, that I am not the business. The business is the business. I'm separate from the business. I'm an employee of the business. Yep. So I needed to pay myself to compensate myself in a very decent way. So don't take anything personal. People. Try as much as possible to remember why you started and keep your head up.
I really, really like that. I say that to a lot of my students too. Don't just, you know, put yourself down, right? Lose your confidence. Don't do that. Just look at the business issues you're dealing with and be determined to overcome them. Yeah. So I really, really like your response. But it's interesting, if you yourself were to go back 10 years in your life, what advice would you give to Lola?
I think the first thing I would do regarding my education is to get my master's done. I think this weight that I had is really affected me a lot because as a person, I feel like my master's degree would have opened a lot of doors for me. And yes, being investing, I would say that, you know, setting and the investments that I made, I didn't research properly before I invested in them. So don't just jump into like things, do your proper research because yes, you might have the money, but if you don't do your research properly, things might happen and go south. So those are like the two major things that I'll have done differently is invest wisely and get my master's degree.
Another excellent response. A lot of times I say to students is don't rush. Like my master's degree students, I teach doctoral students too, is just clearly decide what you desire to do and build the foundation. Don't rush and start to climb before you're ready. I say to a lot of people, one of my very strange hobbies is when I'm taking a drive, like in the evening, and I see new buildings being constructed, I pull off my car just to watch, especially when they're pouring the foundation. And many times I say to myself, if they don't pour that foundation well, everything that is built above that is at risk, right?
Yes, yes.
So to me, where business is concerned, 50% of the focus should be building that foundation, Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Time helps, and building things from the bottom up is mm-hmm. better. Like, your foundation has to be key.
Has to be solid. Yeah. Really important. We have to test that first. You know, oftentimes people say that in this life, when we think of success, our success, like your amazing success, we stand on the shoulders of others. Yeah. Who would you say was your greatest inspiration, and share why you chose that person or persons?
Oh, I did not mention earlier that I am an advocate for social justice.
Yeah.
There's a person I admire the most. I would say Fumulayo Ransom Kuti. She's someone from my country who fought for, you know, equity
mm-hmm.
and equality for mm-hmm. women. That's some person that I look up to, even though, like, you know, she wasn't exactly this business tycoon, but I learned a lot of things from certain mm-hmm. things that she did. And as a business person, there was a guy that I never got the opportunity to meet back then. His name is Marco Martinez.
Mm.
While I was, like, you know, starting up my business, I would always, like, watch his stories and watch what's product and what it was trying to do to the world, because he also came from a humble background too. So that's another person that I look up to and pretty much rode on what he did.
Isn't it wonderful having those role models, you know?
I mean, yeah, it is. It is very wonderful, because everything starts from something.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we cherish those people. I hope that you're in touch with them, and I'm sure they're very proud of the progress that you're making. It's so continuously amazing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Another thought that comes to my mind is, what motivates you, Lola, to just keep going, even when it gets tough? Because we know some days can be really trying.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning, it's like, wow, but I can do this. What pushes you forward?
My family.
Mm. Yep.
My community. And the fact that I just enjoy helping people generally and putting a smile on people's face. My family is very huge for me, because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Of course.
And my community, I feel like when I win, they all win.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody took a bet on me. Yeah. So, yeah, those are, like, the
family element.
Yeah.
Are your 7 younger siblings, any of them here?
None of them.
All back home?
Yes.
So I'm sure, I often say it's having WhatsApp help.
Yeah.
Because it's free, you're able to communicate closely with them.
Of course,
share
of
photographs with them, yeah. graphics with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. They learn from
Thankful
what you're doing.
Technology.
Yep. Every time we've met, I mean, I am again and again and again, I'll say this, very, very impressed by how focused you are.
Thank you
so
much.
How determined you are for success, right? And then, of course, when you and I talk about your work here at LCC, you're just as committed,
yes.
just as intense. Mm-hmm. So when you're not, wow, designing and helping students, what do you do for fun?
I love to travel.
Ooh.
I'm a very, like, I'm a avid traveler. I like to travel a lot. I love to listen to music, specifically Afrobeat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's African music, but I really love to listen to music. And I love to research. That's
any specific areas?
Pretty much things about education, mm-hmm, generally mm-hmm. about, you know, things in my field, counseling.
I would think so.
You know,
yeah.
social work and things like that. I would love that. And then I love to also, like, go out and take walks. Those yeah. are, like, the things that I like to do.
We like a lot of the similar things. it's interesting, you know, when I think of your background, when I think of what you've gleaned from life so far in the area of counseling, and then there's designing. I remember years back in my country, I'm from Guyana, South America.
Okay.
There was an amazing fashion designer. And she used her gifting, her calling, to work with especially young girls in the country who were abused, mm. who were, you know, felt that they couldn't do life. And it's amazing how she helped them to just look at themselves in the mirror and value who they are through clothing, through designing clothes, special clothing, having them wear that
mm-hmm.
and feeling, wow, look at me, you know. Do you see that connection with what you're doing in the context of counseling, which is to help people to have better lives? And then you have this designing gift that also, when most of us dress and stand in front of a mirror, we feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
How do you see bringing those together?
So Another thing that I did not mention is that my factory specifically is in the area that I was born intentionally, because I train people for free and then employ them.
Wow.
So when I train them for free, I employ them. Most of them decide if they want to still stay and work on or start up their own business.
Wow.
I feel like it's a way to empower the people around me instead of just, you know, giving them money every time.
Yes.
It's a way to teach them a skill that will better help them throughout their lives. And then for people who do not have opportunity for formal education, at least they have something, a skill set that they can use. So connecting, helping people, which is my passion, with also fashion, is kind of what I've been doing all my life. It's just that I need proper certifications and degrees right now. Yeah,
that's so amazing. I listen to you, and I think the cliche you're referring to is, instead of just giving them fish, teach them how to fish.
Exactly.
You know, I had a desire from very, very, very young, constantly giving. Oh my gosh, constantly giving. We weren't the wealthiest in the country, but well enough that I would just pack my pockets and go find poor people and just give them stuff. And my mom told me the same thing. She said, "Sweetheart, you're not always going to have enough to give. Give them something that can help them to multiply." And that's education for me.
Yes.
Giving them, like you are doing that in form of training. How do you go about recruiting those persons? Because I know you're from a country with millions,
yep,
not thousands. Is there a process in interviewing these persons? Are there certain things you're looking for?
Sometimes there are people who their parents bring them to me because I have, like, you know, banners and flyers out there, free training. I mean, people like free things. That's the first thing. So when they come, I interview them and ask them questions. Is this something that you want to do? Some of them don't even know what they want to do. It's just like, you know, my mom says I should come here, or my dad says I should come here. And I'm like, okay, test this out for like 2 weeks and let's see if you like it or not. Mm. And then some of them would say, okay, let's go. Some people would be like, I don't want to try it. I'm just here to report.
Mm.
But majority of the people that I've come, I've stayed.
Mm.
And that's how I have
that
the staff strength.
That says a lot.
Yes, that's how I have the staff strength that I have right now.
That is truly amazing. Like we said, they just don't know something, what they want to do, who they want to become, or maybe not even have the confidence they can become anything. And I remember many, many years ago when I went to work with a certain village in the Caribbean. And we were to bring education to persons who've never had education, but they didn't even feel they were worthy of it. We took in books, we took in laptops, all of that. And I remember the government saying to me, put all of that aside. You have to use psychology to help to change a mindset, helping people to understand. And it's interesting, you have that background.
Yeah.
I know you're going into MSW. Have you found yourself needing to use that psychology, that counseling background, to help people to do that paradigm shift from I can't to oh yes, I can? Have you had to do that?
Yes, you know, counseling generally is about empowering people, giving them that, not just taking that choice away from them. And my degree is guidance and counseling, is GNC.
Yes,
so
yes.
Guidance typically would come before the problem and counseling after the problem. But I have been able to like guide people a lot with this. And there are people who in the past I've helped them financially and I've said, you know what, come and try this and let's see if it works out for you. Because given I can continue to give you, but then again, I'll just continue to give you, you would have something that you would take with you for the rest of your life.
Correct.
So this has helped me a lot.
That's wonderful. Do you realize how many lives you're touching? And when you do the counseling, use the psychology, do the training, remember those persons are going out and sharing that with others. So it's that domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Drucker, father of management, said many times that throwing that one stone or pebble in a pond and just seeing it ripple out. I see your work like that, Lula.
Thank
you. Just rippling out very far.
Thank you so
much.
It's
truly amazing. So I know this is tough, but if I were to ask you, what is one main goal you have in your life as of today? What comes to mind?
Basically, is to make the world a better place than
I
found it. That's my major goal in life. I do also want to finish up with get my MSW done, get my master's done and finish up with that and be able to impact more lives that way.
That's amazing. Let me ask you this. If you were to look ahead now and 10 years, you've gotten your master's, MSW, but 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
Working in a school setting, number one, because I
really
love,
like that, right?
I love the educational world. I love working with students. I work higher education. I'm already in love with it at this point. So working in education, still running my business and on a bigger scale. So that's where I see myself 10 years and continue to help people in every capacity that I can.
So scaling up.
Yeah, scaling up. Exactly.
And scaling up, and I imagine developing leaders who would have, because you can't do it all alone, developing training sessions, so you have to help people to do all of that and so on. You do such remarkable work that one listens to you and it's not just business and making profit.
Yeah.
It's all the other human things you do that come out of this. How can others help you make this the big thing you want it to be? How can we help your cause?
Right now, I'm still seeking funding for education.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the funding part is the missing part.
Is that funding for your education?
Yeah, so as soon as I can get that out of it and collaborate with me. I also have a nonprofit that I'm trying to register back home.
So what would be the purpose of that?
Is to help people, because the name of the nonprofit is Your Priority. So it's going to be helping people get funding for education. We're starting with the girl child. A lot of the girl children in my school, in my country, are not educated. We're starting on the northern part of the country. And then collaborate with me and support my business too, because it helps me. You know, I make a lot of good designs. Like I said, my Instagram is BELUCCI_LBF. You can find majority of my work there.
Yeah.
Working on my website, and it's coming up pretty soon. So.
And thanks for sharing that again. I hope you'll be doing not just this with many, many more podcasts to get your voice out there, right? And the voice of others that you're working with.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not easy running a business long distance. I've done it for years, right? I was fortunate in that there were times when I had staff in 13 countries. And many times people will say to me, how can you trust them? You know, they're in so many different countries. And I have to honestly say, Lola, it will come down to one simple four-letter word. Love.
True.
Just loving people, trusting them, believing them, and caring for them. In all my teams over the past 30 years, honestly, I know when they're married, when there's a death in the family, a birth in the family, when there's a birthday in the family, because I love them to the point of caring. And I think when people feel that love and sincerity, they're willing to do almost anything, right? And so, again, I know it can be challenging, but I know it's doable. It can be a blessing. How have you found the experience in being here in America and having your manufacturing plant there? What has that been like, doing that long distance management?
It's been tough.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. It's been very tough. But I do have cameras. Another thing is that because majority of my staff members are people that I trained, so there's this sense of like commitment and loyalty that they have. And I also have my mom, who is kind of like in charge of like the day to day.
Who else can you trust?
You know, doing all of that for me. And I'm very appreciative of her. So she does all, you know, the other things, pieces that I'm not able to do in person. So I manage virtually and every other thing my mom handles.
Well, mom is your biggest champion. Oh, and I think that's wonderful. That's fantastic. I do encourage you.
Thank you.
Again, I'm impressed. I would love to see this grow, continue to grow. I encourage you to continue to show that love and support to your long distance team. You know, in business, we talk about entrepreneur. We've heard that word over and over. And that's you who find the funds, invest, you're carrying the money back for this business. But then we teach a lot about what we call intrapreneur, that lots of persons have not quite heard of that word. And that's where we're carrying the money back, but we're able to find persons such as mom and others who may not be the financial carriers of the business, but they're so committed. They're like an entrepreneur. We call them intrapreneur. They're inside running that business, owning their desk, and just want to see it do well as much as you do. So I hope that over your period of time, that you're able to find and build those entrepreneurs to the point where you can continue to travel and do what you have to do, knowing that all is well.
Yeah.
Lola, a lot about what today is about is not only because I'm impressed with you and I want others to know about you, but to give you a voice.
Thank
right?
you.
And so as we come to an end, closing to an end to our, of our podcast, what are some things you that come to mind that you haven't had a chance to say?
Firstly, for everybody listening to me, I want to say again, keep your head up, believe in yourself. Nothing comes from the comfort zone, you know. Try to stretch yourself, like understand that impact and value. Anywhere those two go, money follows. So just focus on impact and value.
That's wonderful. And Lola, on behalf of all of us, we love you.
Thank you.
We value you. And we pray God will bless you with all of your efforts.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being a part of our journey.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. Your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.